I got to look at what day it is. I will call the May 19th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Alderman Barber?
Is he on mute?
Okay, we'll excuse him for the moment.
And Alderman Nelson?
Here. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, use the microphone in the middle, speak loudly, and tell us what you want to tell us.
Good evening. You guys hear me okay? This is not good. How's this? Is it better?
No, it's sick.
Actually, I just want to take one of the...
Do this?
Yeah.
Is this... There we go. Mike Zimmerman, 7241 South 92nd Street, CEO of Rock Ventures. So I'm here to address, just wanted to frame some procedural stuff for the Milky Way drive-in that's in front of you folks today. So I first just wanted to just thank the city staff for working so closely. I realize this is has come together really quickly, and that sort of creates a unique experience for them, and it's a great opportunity for the city. So I just first and foremost wanted to thank them for their work. But there are just in terms of information that we wanted to put in front of you to sort of set the stage, we've got all of the department heads asked certain questions, so we've got answers to those. So I don't know where you guys want these, but Tom Johns is somewhere behind me. So I don't know if we just give you guys answers to them. But I just wanted to, and we'll put this on file, but just thematically wanted to address some of this stuff. The fire department, I think all of that is, there's no issues there. There'll be some temporary wiring, but it'll be done through studio gear. And when you guys see the plans, I'm sure it'll be appropriate. In the planning department, there was some discussion. Also, Kristen Wilhelm had some points around sound, so I wanted to address that. So first and foremost, we're going to obviously make sure we're compliant with what's in our PDD. And as a reminder, the PDD requires us to not exceed certain decibel levels at the property lines. And there's three devices that are constantly measuring sound in real time. But the general sound strategy, it's a three-pronged sound strategy. The first is AM, FM, going over AM, FM. We're also doing a mobile device, and then we will lightly broadcast into the parking lot so when people are going to the restrooms or concessions, they can also hear the film. There's also just sort of thematically questions in here around public health safety, sanitary issues. So we met with the health department on Friday and put in front of them our COVID readiness plan. And that will be documented, and there were some suggestions and some changes that we added to that. Scott Satula asked about just building inspection and how the screen will be mounted. So what we have also we'll put in file is we've got architectural plans, stamp drawings for how this will happen through studio gear. So that'll be on record for tonight. And you know, that was essentially it. So the we're going to submit this. There's a couple changes you want to make, but we'll submit it, and we'll continue to work with the city clerk. We met with licensing just prior to this, so I just wanted to make sure that these documents had context when we put them in front of you guys tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. Anyone else wishing to speak tonight?
Good evening, members of Common Council, and you, Mr. Olson. My name is Bob Sandrowski. I reside at 6425 South 116th Street in Franklin since 1985. I am here tonight to address the issue of Copart. Being an independent insurance agent for 40 years, I just want to tell you about the affiliation between Copart and the insurance industry. Now, when a vehicle is involved in an accident, whether it belongs to an insured or a claimant, all right, the insurance company or carrier will make a settlement with the insured or the claimant. Then Copart is contacted to retrieve the title from the insured. If there is no loan on it, it's very easy process. But if it's a loan or a lease, then Copart has the obligation to go through the loan company, or lien holder in this case, or the leasing company to obtain the title and do the final payoff. What has transpired is once that is completed, which is anywhere from a 30 to 60 day process, the vehicles are retrieved by Copart and stored. And these are considered total loss vehicles. Then what happens is once everything is cleared, Copart then takes picks up that vehicle and takes it to their one of their lots, either here in Cudahy, Appleton, or Madison, and tries to auction it off or tries to get rid of it by salvage. The problem comes in with the delay on the part of Copart is that an insured or a claimant cannot purchase a different vehicle until the lien or the lease is satisfied. I have taken numerous complaints over the years. I have made contact with Copart officials, ask him why the delay. Well, the problem is they have a very high turnaround at their corporate office. The ones that I've talked to, they say, well, I've been here 5 weeks, 8 weeks. It's going to take us 6 months to a year to find out how we're supposed to do things. And it turns out the left door doesn't know what the right door is doing. So to have a place like Copart come in Franklin, which to me is a glorified junkyard, they not only have autos, they have trucks, semis, anything that has four wheels, they have in store, and they will have those for an undetermined amount of time. To me, putting that type of an operation on that 44 acres, I just cannot see it. I can't see where there's the tax benefit to the, you know, the city of Franklin and us taxpayers, when you can have that type of acreage more beneficial to more profitable businesses that will build buildings and employ a greater number of employees. I've been to the Cudahy operation. I know Alderman Barber has today. I've talked to the mayor of Cudahy and one alderman, and they wish that they would have never approved Copart. What you have behind a Cudahy operation is duplexes. The people constantly complain to the city about their operation. The other issue is the environment, all right? The vehicles that are total loss, majority of them are leaking oil, antifreeze, and gasoline. How do we protect the environment when you have that going on? Granted, they're going to have like a clay liner, or they're going to have and stone on top of that. But what is that going to do to the waterways when it floats down, not on on top of the clay liner, it'll float down into the waterways? It's an environmental issue that should be addressed. And that's what's going on in Cudahy. It's affecting their water supply. And you're getting this from the neighbors, and that's their main concern. They're getting the smell of everything. So I can't see how the Franklin Common Council can sit there and try to approve an operation like that. If I mean, you take a look at it, L. Schill on 00, that's a junkyard. This is a glorified junkyard is what it is. And again, they keep these vehicles for an undetermined amount of time. It could be 60 days, 90, 120, it could be 6 months before they get rid of these vehicles, because you have to find a buy auction or a salvage yard that is willing to purchase those vehicles. So it's a problem. Like, again, if you want to put that type of operation in the city of Franklin, do it on a new park down to 27th Street. I mean, you've got waste management, you've got a trucking firm, you've got On the Border, you've got a towing firm. That's a good place for it, not where it's located now. And then you're going to have Strauss Brands there, and then you're talking about residential properties as part of that development. Who's going to want to build a $450,000 to $700,000 home knowing you got Strauss Brands and Copart? How is that going to affect the value of those properties? What's going to end up happening is Bear Development is going to come in and say, look, I can't sell that land. I can't sell the acres for residential development. So I want to go back to putting it into something else, maybe an extension of Copart. Then you're looking at something else. So I'm urging the Common Council to reject Copart coming into the city of Franklin at its current location. It's very simple. I've done the research. Again, 40 years of experience in the insurance industry. I can tell you this, it's not a well-run organization, not at all. And I wish Alderman Barber could actually verify what he saw down at Cut A. Yeah, they have a 6-foot fence. They should have another 10-foot high fence. They have vandals that break over that 6-foot high fence and steal things. That's the other thing neighbors complain about, the vandals. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Representative Skronsky, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Town Council there. Good evening. I am in here to place my views as a citizen of this community, a future, a longtime citizen of planning of this city and how this community has developed and why it is should be developed properly with good zoning and not to have this type of business in this community. It does not set well with the value, that there is no value in that business to this community. Tax ballot, that area was designed and was set for an industrial park, not the same as the one that we have on 51st Street, but one step down for small businesses to start tool shops, cabinet shops, tool and die, smaller business that will exceed and have a beautiful park. And the reason that that land has been sitting still is until we got the sewer and water out there. Now that we have that, that park could be developed. But to take virgin land and develop it into a junkyard of automobiles is ludicrous. You are just should be embarrassed to even think about accepting an application for that type of business in this community.
It's nothing you said.
Okay, all right. So I am 100% against any development of that kind in this part of the city. There is a lot more that could be done to it, and I can help in getting, and it should have been done a long time ago because of my knowledge on the Economic Development Commission, the Plan Commission. This community deserves a lot better than that, than have this type of business in this community. And I strongly suggest that you vote this down. Do not have that in our community. Thank you.
Since you're here, Mr. Representative, there was some federal funds that were held up at the state for COVID relief for municipalities. Any word on any of that coming through to locals?
Not at this time because we are out of session. The governor has closed down any activity within that building. All our people are pretty much out of it. There won't be any activity until we can get back into session. Until then, I'd have to say there is nothing happening.
So no funds for the municipalities?
At this point.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. And if possible, if there's any more when this item comes up, I may like to come back and speak again.
Anyone else wishing to speak?
Jeffrey Kenny of 12302 West Loomis Court in Franklin. I'm here to share my piece on the Copart development that's being looked at. I've spoken at two of the prior zoning meetings about this as well. I think the two gentlemen before me expressed a lot of my views, and I'm not going to repeat that. A couple things I want to make sure that the commission is looking at. 44 acres. If you look at any one of Copart's sites and extrapolate how many cars are at these sites, we're talking between 8,000 to 10,000 vehicles. I know on the paperwork they say 4 to 5, but That's the density that we're talking in this area. 10,000 cars put over gravel surface, some with and without pieces of their engines left. The whole western half of Franklin where I live, I'm about 600 feet from where this property is going to be located, has well water. So the balance of Franklin doesn't have to worry. They're on city water. I think there's a very large concern to the people that are in the immediate area out there, which there's not a ton of us, but I'm afraid that that's going to push the homes out of that area, anyone that's not on city water currently. And then on top of that, you know, 44 acres of salvage yard. I don't know that we have anything to compare in the area. Every other salvage yard I look around in the Milwaukee area is in the 10 to 20 acre range. The one that Copart is currently building on the north side, it's talked about being their Menominee Falls location. It's in the city of Milwaukee. It's in the city of Milwaukee for a reason. It's because no other suburb in Milwaukee is considering this in the slightest right now. So I just want to leave you with those words. Why is Franklin considering putting this type of a development as the cornerstone of our new business park? I'm not against development. I'd like to see plenty of development. And everything that we've been looking at up to this point was acceptable to me. And this is not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Mr. Haley.
Good evening. Kevin Haley, 8945 South 116th Street, Franklin. Thank you for the opportunity to address the council. As you're aware, I'm a member of the Plan Commission. I've been that for over 15 years, and on the Environmental Commission before that. At the last Plan Commission meeting, we had took action discussions on item 6, the Copart project. I have many concerns. At that time, I expressed my concerns. I'd like this opportunity to address the full council and sort of reiterate those. I think I'm organized here. Don't need to ramble on and on, but I do think it's important to understand the concerns that I have. You guys make the decisions. Here's what I think. Copart seems to be a successful business. It probably fills an important niche in the world. I've done research. I've gone on their websites. What they're doing is a good thing. Could be good for Franklin. Don't know. What I do know is this is probably the wrong place for this activity. And most of those concerns are going to focus on environmental concerns and impacts. I'll get to those. I will speak briefly to the whole economic development potential. We've all struggled for years to try to get this business park up and running and funded. It's great that we've got some interest in it. The concerns I have is this is prime real estate. This is our gateway to the Southwest. This is where everybody comes in to Franklin from the Southwest, and we'll do some more so in the future. So it's prime real estate. It's the first thing people will see, creates a first impression of the city of Franklin. Is this the highest and best use for it? It's the first development in the TID. You would think that that would be the standard, that it would be the finest. No more economic development to other people. What I want to speak to mainly is the environmental concerns. My concerns arise from the fact that this site straddles a subcontinental divide. I'll make it simple. There's a line running through the parcel. Most of the water on site runs to the northwest towards the Mississippi River. Everything else on site runs to the Root River watershed and ultimately to Lake Michigan. So there is a small piece of this project site that actually drains to the northwest into Muskegon. That's their issue, their problem. I would think that they would have some of the similar concerns, but this is the city of Franklin. So the issue that we have is because it's at the top of the watersheds, everything is trying to move through Franklin to Lake Michigan. And it's hydraulically connected both with surface water and subsurface water. So the rain that falls on the parcel right now soaks into the grass. It's a very wet farm field, soaks into the grass, ultimately into the groundwater. That's a good thing. If that water somehow gets tainted and absorbed into the groundwater, we've got a problem. If it runs off the site, as it's designed to do, into our groundwater supply, into our watershed, we've got other problems. So I think we need to
Mayor,
be,
point
we,
of order,
be concerned about
it. There's just way too much conversation going on here. You got one over there, you got one over there, you got one back there. And I'd like to hear the gentleman speaking, please.
Okay, if I might. The things that I think it's important to remember as we move through this is that we've got surface water and groundwater, and I think they both have the potential to be impacted. The site is hydraulically connected to the Root River watershed. That means the drop of water here moves through the whole watershed on its way out to the lake. The fields, the farm fields, and they're currently drain tiled. And for those of you with a historic perspective on farming, drain tiles are put in to drain very wet soils so that they can be farmed. It's wet. I was out there again today. It's very wet. We had a lot of rain, agreed. But the interesting thing is that the proposal that's come up with is basically go into the site, remove or destroy all the drain tiles. It says that right in the plans, unless there's some that may impact adjacent uses, and then you should talk to the engineer. So we destroy those headwaters, regrade the site, compact it, and then put a compacted layer of stone on it, 100% Proctor, which is almost like concrete. So that gets spread across the entire site. So, that's fine. I'm sorry. I guess that's all we can do. So drain tiles are gone. Surface water comes in. You've got an impervious, for all practical purposes, stone layer on the entire 40-some acre site. So the intention there is not to let water move through the site as it currently does, but actually to shed it off and divert it to the various corners of the project where there's a detention basin. Detention basins are intended to capture stormwater runoff, hold it, let it infiltrate into the soil, and ultimately flow out into the watershed. So the water doesn't not go anywhere. It flows off the site to the catch basins where it lays and either absorbs directly or overflows with the next major storm event. So anything that falls on that 40 plus acres eventually is finding its way into our watershed. Now, it's been argued there's very little impacts. The vehicles are all drained. You know, they come in and everything's clean. I took it upon myself and went, I looked at Copart's website. All the pictures on it show waste stains, dripping machinery. It's horrendous. And you'd think that they'd clean up their website to not show that stuff. But the point I'd like to make is even small drips and dribbles and things like that, they're all cumulative. And then you also have the potential for a catastrophic spill or loss, a tank rupture, something. It happens. The point is, these are cumulative. They don't go away. Anything that happens out there on this site will end up in our watershed. I've spent 25 years of my life cleaning up Superfund projects, EPA projects, contaminated parkland from spills. It's almost impossible to reverse it. All you can do is spend money on trying to clean it up. So my concern here is not with what will happen, will be developed, that you're inviting potential and trouble into a very sensitive environmental area. The wetlands that we're proposing to eliminate, well, fine. So they just go away, but now the water is moving into the other wetlands. They're all part of a complex. And this complex, you look at it on the plans,